Now we're holding page 54 in Sanhedrin, the second line, middle of Os Nuntes. Now we started learning yesterday, since the Mishnah had told us about Lefichas Nivra Adam Yechidi, so now the Gemara had started talking about various details about the creation of Adam Rishon. We were talking about that why Adam was created last, and one reason is because, so to speak, first Hashem set up the palace and the party, and only then he invites the guests, Adam and Chava. So we started quoting Psukim from Mishlei. Perek Tes in Mishlei gives two back-to-back Mishalim. First it starts off with Chachmos Vansa Besa, the wise woman has built her house, and then it continues with several Psukim, which the Gemara is now quoting them phrase by phrase, and explaining what they're about. Poshut Pshat is that Shlomo says personifying the Chochmah of Torah as a woman who is preparing a party and inviting and telling her, she says, as the Gemara is going to quote soon, the pasuk Mi Pesi Yosserhena, who is the which foolish person, which simple-minded person will come over here. In other words, I have so much Chochmah of Torah to offer you. Come on in and enjoy my Suda and learn from my Chochmah. So now the Gemara is taking it in a slightly different way, that the Chochmah over here is the Chochmah with which the Eidishter created the world, and so all the for the few Pesukim over there about setting up the party and inviting the guests and so forth are being taken to refer to what Hashem did at the time of Ma'is Bereishis. So we said the Chochmah is Bonsa Besa refers to Hashem creating the world with Chochmah, and we said Chotzva Amudel Shiva, she carved out those seven pillars. We said was Shiva Sunei Bereishis, which as Maharsha points out means in the deeper level it means, as we know from all of the Chassidus, means the Shiva means the seven spheres, the seven midas, the seven midas among the spheres. Next, the pasuk continues, Tovcha Tivcha, she has shechted her and prepared her meat, Moscha Yena, and she has mixed her wine. So what are those referred to in terms of Ma'is Bereishis? Says the Gemara, Elu Yamim Unaharis V'chot Tzorchei Olam. This refers to the seas and the rivers and all the other things that the world needs. Now the world needs a lot of things. Why are we singling out the seas and the rivers? Maharsha points out, first of all, water is a basic necessity for life. But besides that, also in these seas and in these rivers, you have the fish that you can eat from them. Plus, you have the water that you can drink from them. So therefore, the Gemara singles those out. But so Tovcha Tivcha, she prepared her food, Moschayena, and she prepared her drink. So that refers to from the Yamim and Naharis, you get both food in terms of fish and drinks as water. V'chol Tzorchei and all the other things that the world needs. We say, by the way, when we say the Bracha Bar Nefoshes. And Shulchan Aruch explains the meaning of that bracha is, first we thank Hashem, Bar Nefashos Rabbos V'Chasronan, Hashem creates many, many souls, and the things that they're lacking, Hashem creates the basic needs that they need. Then on top of that, Al Kol Ma'asher Barasa L'Hakias Ben Nefesh Kochoi, we also thank you, Hashem, for all the other things that you created to enliven us, in other words, all the sweets and luxuries and delicacies and whatever, we could easily live without them. Maybe Hashem could have made that, for example, we just have bread and water, but instead Hashem gave us fruit and meat and fish and all kinds of other delicacies. So that's our Kol Moshe Barasa L'Achias V'Nefesh Kochoi, and then we finish off Baruchei HaOlamim. So here it's the same thing. In other words, that Hashem is not just creating Yamim and Nahoris, which are fundamental to the existence of the world, but also all Tzorchei Olam, all the things that we need and all the things that maybe we don't need, but Hashem gives them to us as extras. The pasuk continues. Af Orcha Shulchana, she also set up her table. Elu Ilonas HaGashayim, so that refers to the trees and the grasses, from which also we have extra things that Hashem created for us. Extra delicacies and extra wonderful things. You look, for example, anytime you look at a fruit, you can see enormous chesed of Hashem just in the enormous chochmah of Hashem just in the way the fruit is made. So you have, it's literally like a set table right there. It's a miniature little packaged up table right there in front of you in a fruit. Rabbi Miller Taka goes in that a lot in his various lectures and writings and all. He says for years he would carry around Taka in his pocket. He would carry around an apple core and show it whenever he's talking about this. He would say, you take a look at that, and you can see just from that alone, you can see such tremendous niflois aborda. Yeah. Yeah. I hope he changed it from time to time also. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was an apple core. Maybe it was apple seeds. I don't remember actually. But yeah. Okay. Anyway. Next, the pasuk continues. Shochanare seha tikra. She calls her maids or her young ladies, and she sends her young ladies, and she calls. Pasuk chat would mean, in other words, she's sending them out as her messengers to inform everybody in town that there's a soda, come join. But here the Gemara is taking it. Shocha, she sends nare seha tikra, and she calls her young ladies, meaning invites them to the party. So that refers to that Adam and Chava are now invited to the party. So that's the point. In other words, like Hashem first made the party, first created the world, built the palace, set up the banquets and everything, and then Nareseha Sikra, and then calls in the young ladies. Why are they called Nareseha? Marsha points out that we're going to say, so we're going to talk soon about when Cain and Hevel were created, were born, and it was very shortly after Adam and Chava themselves were created, because Hashem created Adam and Chava as young adults who are right away capable of having children. So therefore, in token of that, it calls them Na'arei Seha. Now, you could say, of course, you know, so why not Seha in the feminine? I mean, you could say Balabatish, because that's the mushal is all in the feminine over there about the Chochmah of Torah. But maybe also the idea is, in other words, because after all, the Eivishter is the Zohar, and we humanity, the world in general, collectively, is Nekeva, and therefore both Adam and Chava can be referred to as Na'arei Seha. Okay. Anyway, the pasuk continues, Algape Meroime Kores. She invites them on Gape, the heights of the city. Now, the word Gape has a couple of different meanings, and so we're going to talk about that. The word Gape can mean wings, it can mean alone, so now we'll get into that. But first of all, Rabba Baba Chana Rami. Rabba Baba Chana points out a contradiction in the Psukim. Ksiv al Gape, or Ksiv al Kisei. Now, you have, so in that Perek, this is Perek Tes of Mishlei, you have the first half of the Perek then is this Chachmos, the wise woman who makes a banquet and invites everybody to enjoy her banquet of Chachma. Then you have, the pasuk continues with the contrast with Ashes Ksibus, the foolish woman. And there also it says that she's there, so there it describes her as sitting al Kisei Miroi Mekores, on a chair in the heights of the city. So Rav Baba Chana is bothered by why that difference between the two halves of the Perek. Why by the Chachmas does it use the word Algape and later on Alkisei? So he says the Tchila, it's both. The Tchila Algape, so that's what we're going to explain in a second. The word Gape has a few different meanings. So the Tchila Algape or the Seif Alkisei. So the answer is it was both. First it was Algape and then Alkisei. Rashi explains that Gape comes from the word Gaf means a wing. So Agape means on the high heights. So in other words, it means Adam and Chava were originally created in tremendous heights, as though they had wings. You know, they don't literally have wings, but as though they had wings and are able to fly. So Hashem created them and invited them to the banquet of the world, Agape Meroime Kores, on the winged heights of the city. But then they ate from the Eitz Hadas, and the result is they're downgraded, and now they're only Alkisei Meroime Kores, on a chair in the heights of the city. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos is bothered by the fact that there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that also quotes this pasuk, and see, we'll get to it in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, and it seems to say the other way around, that the Kisei is better than the Gape. So then how would that fit with this explanation over here? The Gemara says over there that a Talmud starts out Al-Gape, and then when he becomes a distinguished Talmud Chacham of his own, then he's Al-Kisei, he's like a Rosh Hashiva who sits on a chair teaching Talmudim. So therefore, Tosfos explains that, no, the word gape over here doesn't mean wings. It comes from a word for solitary, like you have by the Eved Ivri, im gape yover the gape yese. So what it means is fakir. First, without Chava, Adam was al gape mirene kores. He's on the solitary heights of the city. He's all alone. Then the Eved created Chava out of him, and now al kisei, now he can sit comfortably on a chair. So therefore, according to that, that's the vote. Marsha in that Gemara in Avodah Zarah says in another point as well, in context of the Gemara over there, where it's talking about a person learning Torah, at sort of like Rashi, that gape means wings, but it means at first he feels like the Torah is flying too high for him. He can't hop it. But eventually he learns and he horovers in it, and then it becomes al kisei, it becomes settled by him, and therefore in that sense also the kisei is greater. Next. The Chachmos Vonsa Beis, this wise woman who built her house and made this banquet, continues in the Psukim. She says, Mi Fesi Yosuhena, who is the Pesi, a simple-minded person? A Pesi comes from the word Pita, like this is a person who can easily be convinced into anything. like from the same church as Mephatha. So meet Pethi, who is the simple-minded, the gullible person, Yosur Hena, who will turn in over here. Asar Lev, Omra Loi, she speaks to him, to the person without a heart, without an understanding. So Pashat Chat is, in other words, she's saying, look, you're Pesi, you're Chasar Lev, come on in here and learn from my Chochma and learn to not be such a Pesi and to not be such a Chasar Lev. But here the Gemara is taking it in the sense of what actually happened eventually with the Chet Tadas, how we went from Gape to Kise. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu means Hashem is saying, Mi Psoi Lozeh, who is the one who convinced Adam to do the Saveda, to eat from the Eitz Hadas, that Yosur Hena, that he would turn over here to eat from the Eitz Hadas. You want to know who it was? Isha Omraloi. It was a woman who said to him. So that's in other words, me Pesi Yosur Hena, who is the Pesi, who is the gullible person who turned aside over here and allowed himself to be convinced to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Omraloi, she, the woman, told him that Chava told him. So what is Chasar Lev? So Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Noyef Isha Chasar Lev, a man who is Mizana with a woman, who commits Niyuf with a woman, is lacking in heart. So we see, in other words, that Chasar Lev is associated with over familiarity, shall we say, with a woman, and therefore the idea would be, in other words, Sarashi explains the Chasar Lev is referring to Chava. Mi Pesi Yosur Hena, you know what happened? What brought Adam down? Chasar Lev, Chava, who was lacking in a certain degree of Lev, Omra Loi, she told him, eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he went ahead and did it. On the other hand, Maharsha says that doesn't really seem to fit with what the Gemara is quoting, Noyef Isha Chasar Lev, because there the Chasar Lev refers to the man, not the woman. So rather, Maharsha says, no, that's the verb. That what happened, how was it Mi Psoi Lozeh, who is it that convinced Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas, is Chava telling him, you are a Chasar Lev. Until you eat from this Eitz Hadas, you're not going to know, as the Nachash told her, and she in turn works on convincing Adam, you won't be Yodei Tov V'ra, you won't know all the Das that Hashem put in the world available for you. So you, Adam, my husband, are Chasar Lev. You're lacking in a certain Lev unless you eat from this fruit. And with that, she convinced him to eat it. So therefore, Chasar Lev would refer to him. Another point, Maharsha says, the word Yosur Hena, the word Yosur can also be Meloshin Sur, as in not just he turned away to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but also Sur, he was removed from Gan Eden. So how did that happen? Chasar Lev Omra Loi.
Hashem himself is saying that after day eating, they are in a level that now they have to go to exile, otherwise they're going to...
Okay, and Chassidus, it talks about, in the Medrash already, it talks about that Adam says to Hashem, you kind of set me up for this, you already wrote in the Torah, even, and now Pine Shana Kudma Torah Oil the concept of Misa, so kind of like, you set up the whole situation, okay, but at least on the Poshet level, and the fact is that Adam was convinced to do something that he shouldn't have done, maybe he would have wanted, like we talked about yesterday, or the day before, that he should have waited 3 hours and then he'd be mutter to eat from it and he'd be maiva the whole world with that.
So the union of Chutz Mira Shomayim started even before Eitz Hadas.
Apparently, yeah. And there has to be, otherwise without that there's no room for Bechira Chofshis. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Struggle, without Bechira Chofshis there's no room for reward and punishment, there's no room for the whole Torah. How could the Eibush tell him B'yoyim HaChochem Imenu Mois Tomos if he doesn't have Bechira Chofshis? So yeah, the difference is, so the one difference is that we see in the story itself, we see the Nachash is outside of Adam and Chava, representing, yes, there is a clip out there, there is a Yetzirah, there is a Nefesh of Bahamas, but it's outside the person. Al-Derech, maybe it's Al-Derech like the Al-Tadeva talks about in Tanya, you can have a Tzaddik, Gomer who's completely expelled as Yetzirah. But nevertheless, the Yetzirah still exists. It's not in him anymore. So the same way, in other words, there exists a Yetzirah for Adam and Chava, but it's outside them and personified in the Nachash. And then when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, and they brought it inside themselves and everything went haywire from there. Okay. The Gemara continues, Tanya, Hoy Rab Meir, Omer. Onu Marishin, Mikol HaOlam Kulei Hutz Barafarei. The dust from which Hashem made Adam was gathered together from every place in the world. And a reason for that is, it's Yosef Bunz from a Medrash, this way wherever a person dies, the earth will be willing to accept his body for burial. So from the whole world, Shenemar is the positive Domi Roenecha. Kapitel Kuflamid test of Tilim in various places. The Gemara quotes Pesukim of it that they're attributed to Odomerish. And the Gemara we learned in Bava Basra a couple of months back that David composed Sefer Tilim Al Yidei Asoras Yeah, so does Kanim, with the contributions of 10 Kanim before his times, and one of them is Adam edition, namely Capital Koflamentes, the basis of it was written by Adam himself, and then David took it and rewrote it and made it part of Sefer Tillim. So you have a pasuk in there where he says, Gomi Yoweinecha, Hashem, you saw my unformed form, in other words, when I was just formed into a mass of clay without an Hashem yet. Now, Roeinecha, the pasuk says, Eine Hashem heimim ashoitzitim b'chol aretz. The pasuk says, the eyes of Hashem, so to speak, wander over and rove over the whole earth. So if he's saying, Gomi Roeinecha, that means everywhere where you look, Hashem, there was something of what went into the golem, into the unformed clay mass that became me. And the idea is, in other words, the whole world was created for Adam Rishon, so therefore he had to be created. At another point, Maharshal says, therefore he had to be created from every place in the world, representing, in other words, that now he has dominion over every place in the world. So how exactly did that work? Amar Rav Oshia Meshmei D'Rav, Adam Rishon Gufoy Mibavel, his torso, his main, the main part of his body was taken from Bavel. Now, Bavel is a very relatively low lying land. So, in other words, we're picturing it like Hashem scooped out a lot of dirt from there to make Adam, and therefore now it's a low lying place. So his body is from Bavel. The Rosh in Eretz Yisrael, his head was taken from Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is the most important of all countries. So it's appropriate that his head should be taken from the most ruchniistic place in the world. Marshal Taitis out. In other words, his head having it is his brain, his seichel, his koyach of the neshama. So that's most appropriate that it should come from Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of Chochma. Then Gufoy would be. So you have his torso, contains his internal organs, contains his heart, contains other vital organs like that. So therefore, that's from Bavel, which is also a place which is very well suited for Chochma, which is why Hashem sent the Jewish people and Golus there, and that's where the Talmud Bavli was written. So his body was made from Bavel, and his head from Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ivarim, Mishan Aratzis, and the rest of his limbs, his hands, his feet, were made from other countries. So those other countries, in other words, are tofel relative to Eretz Yisrael and to Bavel. And the Gemara continues, Agvoisav, what about his buttocks? Where particularly did they come from? They came from a place in Bavel called Akra de Agma, which is extra deep. Bavel as a whole is a very low-lying country. This Akra de Agma is a place within Bavel itself that is even deeper. So to speak, we can say, in other words, Hashem scooped up extra dust out of there to create Adam's buttocks, to create his Acharayim. What that represents for Ruchnius, I'm not sure, but maybe Akra de Agma was one of these less Ruchniistic type places in Bavel. I don't know. With that said, Ben Yehoyada brings a girsa from the Arizal in this Gemara that has it somewhat differently. That says that his body and his agvoisav were all created from Bavel. So in that case, then that would mean, in other words, that as much as we're saying, as much as Bavel is important, but nevertheless, it does, it's still, the girsa, gufo in the Eretz Yisrael, the agvoisav mi Bavel ume akra de agma. His agvoisav specifically come from Bavel and specifically from akra de agma in there. And he talks about what that would mean, beruchnius, Fine. Here's another thing about how Adam was created. We know that the daytime consists of 12 hours. So on the 12 hours of the sixth day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, which is the day that Adam and Chava were created, each hour there was something on the timeline that happened with the creation of Adam and then afterwards what happened with him. Now, Maharshal points out other things were created on the sixth day as well. All the animals were created that day. But it could be. Maharshal says those may have been created at night. After all, so for example, all the animals that were created on Yom Shishi, it could have been actually Thursday night. But Adam, we're saying, was created specifically by day. And you have this, because the pasuk actually says, B'yoyim broya l'kim Adam, and B'yoyim hi baram. So the same way as the Gemara, for example, sometimes Darshan, you have, let's say, for example, B'yoyim Moshe Oysam, and then other such psukim like that indicate that Korbanos have to be brought by day. The same way, if the Torah says B'yoyim, that on the day that Adam was created, then we have to understand it was during the daylight hours. So, Shorishana Hutzbarafore. During the first hour, Hashem gathered together all the dust from which Adam is going to be created. Shnia Nasa Golem. During the second hour, Hashem made him into a golem, into this unformed mass. So now it's like the dust is, so to speak, kneaded together to form clay, but it's still just a mass that hasn't been made into an actual definitive shape yet. Shlishis Nimtachor, and one point of this also is to show, obviously Hashem can do all these things in a moment. He doesn't need an hour for each one, but in other words, it shows how much time Hashem took over it to demonstrating for us how important every person is. As we said in the Mishnah, that we see how much, so to speak, how much care and time Hashem put in to every detail of making Adam, that he's taking an entire hour on each step. So Shlishis Nimtachor Evara. During the third hour, his limbs were delineated and stretched out. You have arms, legs, fingers, the whole thing. Revius Nizruka by Neshama. In the fourth hour, the Neshama was put into him. By Yipach Bap of Nishmas Chaim was in the fourth hour of the day. Chamishis Amad Araglav. During the fifth hour, he stood on his feet for the first time. Shishis Korashemus. Then we know the pasuk says Hashem brought all the animals and birds to Adam to name them. So during that 6 hours, when he did that, he named all of them. During the seventh hour is when Chava was joined up and mated with him, when Hashem created Chava and brought Chava to Adam by the Eol Adam. Shminis, during the eighth hour, Olol Mitzshnayim v'Yodu Abba. Then Olol Mitzshnayim v'Yodu Abba. Two went into the bed, namely Adam and Chava, and four came out, namely that Cain and his twin sister were conceived and born at that point. Before the Mabul, the Medrash says pregnancies didn't take very long, so therefore a loss of love. Also, it says a woman will give birth on the same day she conceives, so all you needed was a very short time, and already you have Cain and his twin were born. So Tosfos points out Hevel was born only later. The pasuk says by Hevel v'toisef l'ledes, she again gave birth, implying that it was a separate thing. In addition, also the Medrash says that Hevel had two sisters born together with him, so that they were triplets. One point is it's brought that it comes out then that Cain was conceived before the Chet Etzadas, which means therefore the Chet Etzadas had a certain effect on him having already been born, and that's why that's one reason why he was more susceptible to going wrong, as eventually he did. As opposed to Hevel, was born only after Adam had done Tshuva, and therefore, in that sense, he's on a better level. Now, with that said, though, Marshall says that actually he brings differently from the Medrash that it actually might be is there a possibility that we could say over here that the two are in fact Cain and Hevel, and never mind they're twins. That would be a different matter. Or actually, it seems Marshall is not really saying that. He's just saying that the way that Tosfos says that we learn from Es Och of Es Hevel is that therefore Hevel had two sisters born together with him is not universally agreed to. Next. During the ninth hour, Hashem commanded him not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Asiris Sorach, during that tenth hour of the day, is when he went bad and ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's why when the pasuk says that Adam and Chava heard as Kol Hashem Elokim is Halach Bagon LeRuach HaYoyim, Rashi explains that it means over there that they hear the voice coming from the west. The sun is already starting to set towards the west. It's the tenth hour of the day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, let's say, and then because the Shechinah B'Mayrev, therefore they heard the voice of Hashem coming from that direction. So that was in the tenth hour.
Mention anything about Hevel getting from
Eitz Hadas? No, that's what I'm saying. Based on what Tosfos is saying, it comes out that Hevel was conceived only after the Chet Eitz Hadas and after they were kissed at Chaim. Before that's what we're saying. And all of the Mitzvah Shnayim, the Yodu Dalad, would mean that originally there's Adam and Chava, and then during that same hour, Cain and his twin are born. So therefore, yeah, Cain was already born by the time the Chet Eitz Hadas happened.
He did not eat from the Eitz Hadas.
Well, it doesn't say whether he ate or not, but maybe. I mean, it says after all that it says that Chava even gave from the Eitz Hadas all the animals and birds, which is why all of them die also. So I suppose we could assume she gave some to Cain as well. I don't know. In any case, yes. So
I see Rich around.
What?
It, as he reached around, as in one section, or he was in a struggle for the whole hour?
And again, maybe it means for the whole hour. Maybe it means that during that hour, is at the beginning of that hour, is when the Nachash confronted Chava, and then at the end of it, he ate from it. I don't know. A lot of the, when we say the same thing, when we say, for example, during a certain hour, Omad al Raglav doesn't take a person an hour to get onto his feet either. So it means sometime during that hour. Okay. So Yud Aleph Nidun, during the 11th hour, Hashem judged him and decided what his punishment is going to be. Yud Beis Nitzrad B'Holach Loi comes the 12th hour, and he was kicked out of Gan Eden and had to leave. Now, Anaf Yosef points out there is a different medrash that learns differently, actually, that says that he was allowed to stay in Gan Eden until after Shabbos. So there is an explanation that he was actually allowed to stay in there after Shabbos, and that's he realized the greatness of Shabbos and said Mizmor Shuli Yom HaShabbos in token of that. That's another kapitel that's attributed to other Midrashim. So according to that, then it would mean that he wasn't literally kicked out of Gan Eden right away, but according to all Gemara, it comes out that he was even before Shabbos. So we see, in other words, on the same day that he was created, then he was already kicked out of Gan Eden. Shenemah, as we find the pasuk, Odem Bikor Bal Yolin, man does not stay overnight in glory. In other words, he couldn't even stay one night in the glory of Gan Eden, and already before that night even came, he's out of there. So that's what we see. In other words, that all happened on the same day. One interesting side thing in this point, when we talk about the Molad, when we calculate the Molados back, every month we announce Molad and Shul, what do we calculate them back to originally? So the Rambam writes we calculate them back to what's called Molad Baharad, which is a Molad on Monday, which is days, hay, 5 hours, rad, 204 halakim, but that Molad is actually sometime before Maaseh Bereishis. It's an imaginary Molad, which is why we call it Molad Tohu. What we do is, since the Eved just started creating the world on Chof Hei Elul, that Chof Hei Elul has to belong to a certain year, so we call that year the year one, and that means we have to imagine a Tishrei that there was before it. So therefore, we calculate back to that, the Rosh Chodesh of that imaginary Tishrei. The actual Tishrei of Maaseh Bereishis, Adam and Chava, were created on Aleph Tishrei, the Molad then would have been on Friday at 14 hours. 14 hours is 8 o'clock in the morning, because the hours for this purpose count from 6 p.m. of the previous day, which is equivalent to the Shminis we're saying over here. So Mephoshim explained, in other words, the vote is, now that Adam is a sentient being, Omad al Raglav and Kora Shemus, and now he's Chava, now the next thing he's able to do is he's with the Chochmah, with the enormous Chochmah that Hashem gave him, he's able to understand how the phases of the moon work, and the Mekadesh, the Chodesh, at that point, on that Friday, 14 hours, 8 o'clock in the morning, and therefore that became the basis of all the Molodis from after that. And we calculate one Molod after another from that. In this connection, having mentioned this Pasuk, Odom Bikor Bal Yolin, now the Pasuk finishes off, it's a Pasuk in capital Mentes, Nimshak HaBehemus Nidmu, so now the Gemara is going to dash in the second half of that Pasuk. Omer Rami Bachoma, Ein Chayer Rosh, Eletus Ba'odom, Elim Ken Nidmoloi KaBehema. A wild animal will not be able to have control over a person and be able to harm him unless the person appears to it like an animal. Shenema, if the pasuk finishes off, Nimshal kabehemus nidmu, they're compared to the animals. Nimshal and nidmu, in the simple sense, both mean to be compared to. Nimshal meloshin mashal and nidmu meloshin doma, to be similar to. But Maharsha explains that, in other words, the vote is Nimshal we're taking actually meloshin memshala. So a person is nimshal, a person is able to be dominated by the animals. Why? Because kabehemus nidmu, because he appears to the animal as being just another animal. So in other words, as long as, now like this, we find after the Mabul, Hashem says, b'feder shenoyach amaracham b'chit chemiyah, that fear and dread of you will be on all the animals. And the Gemara has the expression in Shabbos that even a day-old baby you don't need to protect from wild animals because they're naturally afraid of it, as opposed to even the most giant person, even Og Melech HaBashan, when he's dead, then all the animal, all the mice will go and start gnawing on him or whatever. So there's a natural fear that animals have of people. But B'medvar Mumin, when the person acts like a person, when he's acting like a behemoth, then he seems to chaya like another behemoth, and therefore it will attack him. In that connection, the Zohar brings, for example, when Daniel was in the lion's den, how come it is the lions didn't harm him? It's because he had the Tzelem HaLikim on him, and the lions instinctively recognized that, and therefore they were afraid of him. a similar story involving Reb Chaim ibn Attar. One version I've heard is it was the Reb Chaim HaKadosh himself. Another version I've heard is it was his grandfather who had the same name, where also he was thrown into a lion's den and also got out safely. And you have various other stories here and there of tzaddikim like that. It's all because they had the Tzelem Elokim, they had the Tzuras Adam, and therefore the animals are naturally afraid of them. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, B'shar Shabbat Shabikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Livid Asad Olam. When Hashem is getting ready to create man, Barakat Achas Shamalachi Asharis. First he created a group of Malachi Asharis, so to speak, to take advice from them. We know Hashem says in the Torah, Nasa Adam, and we're going to have later on in the Gemara why it says Nasa in the plural over there. So one meaning of it is because the Eibishter wanted to show us how that even he himself, who was Kol Yochol, still consults with his inferiors before he does such an important thing. So he created this group of Malach HaSharis, so to speak, to consult with them. Omalahem, he says to them, "Return from Nasa Adam Etzalmenu. Do you agree that we should create man in our image? Not we, of course. Hashem himself is doing it. But do you agree that such a person should be created that has certain malach-like qualities?" Omer the fun of Rebbeinu Shlomo Mamasav said, "He's malachim, ask Hashem, or Rebbeinu Shlomo, what kind of deeds is this man that you want to create? How are they going to act?" So Hashem tells him this is how people are going to act, and he tells him the various details, the various midas that people are going to have. So the Malachim said, Ribbono Shel Olam, as the Pasuk says, until the Ma'anesh Kisis Giranu, what is mortal man? Enosh is the lowest word that we use of the four words we use for human beings. Enosh is the lowest one. So what is Enosh? What is this lowly man, Kisis Giranu, that you should remember him? Then Adam and the son of man, Kisit Gedenu, that you should pay any attention to him. So in other words, they're saying, Hashem, don't bother creating such a creature. Marsha brings in greater detail from the Medrash, that the Malachim, the Medrash says over there, were divided up into groups. The Malachim of Chesed, who said, yes, Hashem, create man, because they will do Chesed. Meanwhile, Emes said, don't create him, people are full of falsehood. Tzedek argued on behalf of the creation of man because they do tzedakah. Shalom said don't because people are argumentative. So in other words, that's what Marashah says. The posik that our Gemara is fitting very well with this. Ma enesh kisis giranu. Enesh doesn't just mean mankind as a whole. It also refers to one specific person who had that name. Enesh, the grandson of Adam, who was the first one to worship Avodah Zarah, which is the ultimate falsehood. So this is the Malachim of Emes are arguing, don't create ma enesh kisis giranu. You're going to create mankind, and they're going to end up with the ultimate sheker. Uven Adam kisif gidenu, and the Malachim of Shalom are arguing, how could you create mankind when they're going to be full of arguments, like Cain fighting with Hevel and killing him? Well, Hashem didn't like their answer. Hashem stuck his little finger between them and burnt them. What does the little finger represent? Marashah points out, we in that capital, in that same capital Ches, we refer to Hashem as making the world with his fingers, so to speak. So now we're saying Hashem didn't have to use all his fingers. One little finger burns them. In other words, that Hashem overpowered them with his midah of Chesed. Because again, midah of Chesed and Tzedek wanted that man should be created. So Hashem uses his etzbak tana, representing that midah of Chesed and of Tzedek, in order to overpower and burn them off and clear the way for man to be created. Well, that's what we're saying. In other words, Hashem wanted to show us a lesson that a person should never say, I'm so great, I know it all, and I don't have to consult with everybody. If even Hashem can consult with his underlings, how much more so we? But now, there's a few places in Chassidus where it talks about the meaning of it is that after all, you have there's Atzmus and Mahus, and you have Gili Alakos, you have Gili Ora and Soif, which is beyond even the Malachim. The Malachim, various kinds of Malachim are in Bria, some are in Yitzira, etc. So from all of them, when you have a Gili Ora from Atzilus, and from even higher than Atzilus, then it burns them up, and like they can't stand it. It's far beyond them. So that's represented over here metaphorically by Hashem taking its Bori HaKtana and burning them, in other words, bringing down on them such a tremendous gilui alakos, more than they can take, and therefore they disappear. The same thing happened with the second group. Same thing, they argued that man shouldn't be created. And Hashem disposed of them. That's what Maharshal says. These are the two groups. The first group is the group who represent Emes, and the second group is the one who represents Shalom. And each of them, as the Medrash says, don't want that mankind should be created. Hatshlishis Amr Lefanav. Now comes the third group. Says to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shlodim, Rishonim Shamr Lefanecha, Mahayilu. Look, the earlier group spoke up and tried to oppose your plans. What good did it do? then you just burnt them. Kola Olam Kula Shochahu. The whole world belongs to you. So whatever you want to do in your world, go ahead and do it. In other words, what do you need us for? You obviously have made up your mind of what you plan to do, and us telling you that it's not a good idea is not going to do any good anyhow. Marsha and Marsha brings from that medrash that before we get to the medrash, actually let's continue with the Gemara over here. Why did it take till the third group? Yon Yaakov points out why not the second group, and he brings based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which we'll get to in a few months from now. Be'ez Hashem, that the story involving a Roman emperor who wanted to make a Gzeira against the Yidden, and one of his advisors argued against it, and the king tells him, you have a good point, but you can't argue against the king, and for that you chayiv misa. So therefore, Yon Yaakov says the second group might have figured, you know what, the first group spoke out of turn, but once they already spoke, maybe we could. But nevertheless, they also lost out. And then comes the third group and says, you know what, there's no sense in us speaking up. So, Kivin Shi Gil of Dur, or Anshe Dur Amabel, or Anshe Dur Afloga, time passed, and it came to Dur Amabel and the Dur Afloga, Shemaseh Mokol Kolim, they acted in such corrupt ways. So now the Malachim say to Hashem, didn't the earlier groups of Malachim have a very good point? They were saying, don't create man, because he's full of MS, because he's full of sheker, and full of argument. They had a point. Look how people are acting now. So Hashem answers them with the words of the pasuk, Vad zikna anihu, even until old age, I am still the same one. Vad seva, and even to white hair, ani esbo, I will carry them. In other words, Hashem is saying until the time of Matan Torah, Maharsha explains, at Matan Torah, Hashem came and appeared to the Jewish people as a zokin and someone with seva, as an old Talmid Chacham with white hair, so to speak. So Hashem is saying to the Malachim, you have a valid complaint, but you know what? Hold off. Wait until Matan Torah, which is, after all, the Torah is the purpose of the world, and then at that point, Va'ad Zikna Anihu, Va'ad Seva Aniyasbel, I will continue to bear and to tolerate the world and all the way that the people are acting so terribly in the time of the Mabul, in the time of Dera Flaga, because I'm looking forward to Va'ad Zikna and Va'ad Seva until the time of Matan Torah. And then the world will have a purpose, and then you don't have to be worried so much about the people, about how badly people are acting. The Torah, the people, the Jewish people will keep the Torah, and of course by Matan Torah itself, the Malachim made the same argument. Why are you giving Torah? Why are you giving the Torah to mankind? And then that's when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the famous answer, as in the Sefer Shabbos, Hashem tells him, grab onto my Kisei HaKavod and give them the answer, and he tells them the Torah is meant to be down here on earth. We have to use it to make a din of a tachtonim, and it's not addressed to you, Malachim. So in other words, Hashem is telling them, Maharsha says, when he tells them about Zikna, Anihu, etc., Hashem is telling them, right now I'm not going to give you an answer. You'll get your answer by Matan Torah. The Gemara continues. We'll continue. We'll continue this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach of Geula, Yud Ches Sivan. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Megillah that the famous expression that all the Sfarim of Nevi'im and all the Ksuvim are all going to be bodily Moshe Mashiach, except for Halachas Shal Torah Shabal Peh She'ein B'Teilim La'olam. This is the Rebbe gave out a whole sicha which was published as Kundris in Yonashal Shal Torah Shal Halachas Shal Torah Shabal Peh She'ein B'Teilim La'olam, which you can find it in the back of Sfaduris Tafshinun Aleph, was printed at a whole kundras over there. So Megillas Esther and the halachas are never going to be bottled. In other words, what does it mean when we talk about the Torah is eternal? B'chla, we talk about one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, that the Torah is eternal and no mitzvah of it will ever be canceled and nothing will ever be changed or added, etc. So that includes the halachas of Torah Shabbat Peh, the Pashat the mitzvahs through which we know how to, the details through which we know how to do the mitzvahs, all of those are Kayim La'olam and those are never going to be bottled.
So what does it mean? So what is bottle? So to a certain extent, it means the rest. To a certain extent, it means the rest of Tanakh is going to be bottle in the sense that most of the rest of Tanakh talks. Most of the rest of Tanakh talks about various things that the Jewish people did what they weren't supposed to, and the consequences of those. So we don't really need those the most of Mashiach so much, or to the extent we need them, we'll be learning them on a much higher level, as opposed to Megillas Esther. The Rambam says Megillas Esther and Halachas Shel Torah and like Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the Halachas of Torah, which will never be bottle. Those will all have the same. Those will all be on the same level. We'll all continue learning them the same as we do now. And that whole contrast that ever develops the idea, what exactly is the difference between nowadays and Yemos and Mashiach? What does it mean when we talk on mitzvahs, potatoes, loss of love? But there's different excerpts of it here and there and here and Yom Yom Mashiach HaGola, and the whole sicha goes through and examines very closely all these relevant Ma'amore Chazal on the subject. Okay. We were learning yesterday in Hilchos Tzitzis, the last couple of days, we were talking about the idea that if you have a torn off part of a talus or a talus cotton that has tzitzis on it, when, if you attach it to another beged, are you able to keep the tzitzis on it and not have to untie them, versus when do you have to untie them? So one distinction the Alter Rebbe had pointed out is that if you have two pieces that were completely separated, or almost completely separated, less than three gudlim are connected together, and then you have the consideration, how big is each of the pieces of this detached or of these detached or almost detached parts? Is each one of them big enough to be a talus cotton on its own? Then the tzitzis that are on it remain valid, as opposed to that. So that said, if one of the pieces or both of them is not large enough to be a sheer talus, then if you attach them together, then you have a problem of tassel velamin also, and therefore it doesn't work. So now this is all according to one opinion. Now, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say now that yesh oimrim, a different opinion. These are basically two different ways, and the Mukha Yosef talks about this on in Hilchos Tzitzis, and there are two different ways. The Taz has one way of learning it, the Beis Yosef has a different way of learning it. So first, the first opinion the Alter Rebbe had brought is the Taz's understanding of the Mukha Yosef, and now he's going to bring the Beis Yosef's opinion. So yesh oimrim, that even just because the piece of beged is not the size of a talus, is not a reason to say that the tzitzis should be possible. Because after all, look, it's hanging from the corner, the way tzitzis are supposed to be. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, according to that way of looking at it, if the piece of beged that has the tzitzah attached to it is at least three gudlin by three gudlin, where again a gudol is a thumb width, about 3/4 of an inch, according to Rebbe Ramchaina, so you're talking about 2.25 inches. If it's a square of at least that size, then which is the minimum to be called a konaf, then according to that opinion, then the tzitzis that are attached to it are still considered kosher and don't become possible, and therefore you could attach it to another beged and you don't have to take off the tzitzis. But if that piece is not even three gudlin on three gudlin, even if it's not completely separated from the talus, it's partly connected, but the place where it's connected is less than three gudlin wide, then it would be considered disconnected, and then the tzitzis that are in it would be possible, because then it's not even attached to something that's called a conch. So in other words, in short, according to the Taz's understanding, it has to be large enough to be attached to something that's called a beged, that's large enough to be a talus or a talus cotton of its own. According to the second explanation of the Beis Yosef, the vote is it has to be attached to something which is large enough to be a konaf of its own in order to be kosher. La halacha then, the Alter Rebbe says, if possible, be machmir like the first svara. If you have no other alternative, let's say, for example, what happens, for example, you have this corner that ripped off, the three gudlim by three gudlim or more, and the tzitzah attached to it. Now, what happens if one of those strings itself is broken to the extent that we said before, that we said earlier in the simon, you're really not supposed to, if you're taking it off, you're not supposed to put it back on again unless you have full-length strings, and you don't, so if you don't have any other strings, then you can be simach on the other svara and say, as long as the piece that they were attached to was three by three gudlim, then you're fine. And in Kuntas Acharon, the Alter Rebbe goes into that and points out that in Shulchan Aruch, the Bechlal doesn't even bring the first opinion at all. It only brings the second opinion, which is a reason why to say that you could be maker on it in a pinch. But if you have other strings available, or if you have another beged available, or if these strings are intact and you're able to take them off and put them onto another beged without any problem, or onto the same beged or onto a different beged without any problem, then do that. And after that, they're saying, and don't be soymach on that second opinion, the opinion of the Beis Yosef, which is more maker.